He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
So I'm not as concerned. Again, if the Lakers start losing, that's where all this stuff just compounds into negativity, where guys start wanting more minutes here, wanting numbers there, and things of that nature. But I think at least for now, while things are fresh, and if the Lakers win as we think they should be, Luka just had a big thing drop again today, which I think is kind of signifying how he feels going into this season and the type of statement he's trying to make. Yeah, I'm not too concerned right now, but that's kind of the risk of having guys on 1 year. There's a reason teams like to lock guys in for 3-4 years because
OKC. Yeah.
Yeah. It shows a level of trust in both parties, right? Dorian gets a 4-year, whatever it is, from the or 3-year deal from the Rockets, showing some kind of trust within both of those teams. So, but this is the spot the Lakers are in, and they have a lot of eggs, Anthony, in the Ayton and Smart basket. There are a million eggs in those two baskets. I know you named off a bunch of other guys on contract years. Those two guys need to be good, especially Ayton. If Ayton's not good, I'm not sure how this team fares.
I'm
not too concerned. Yeah, which is scary. That's a dangerous place to be, where DeAndre Ayton needs to be a top 10, 12 center this year. I mean,
that could be the argument to trade for Walker Kessler or something like that. Like, you know, when you get that opportunity, or if you get that opportunity. I do want to say, like, the fact that we are in this era where winning gets guys paid more, like the player that really comes to mind where this swing started, you know, kind of began, where it went from if you scored 17 points or more, you were set. You know, for basically my entire childhood to like early adulthood, that was basically that's how like Rob Pelinka like would look at try to find his clients. He would just go through, click on points per game, and then just go down that list. You know, it's not like that anymore. It's a very different league. And the first guy that I remember that swinging on was Danny Green. Where Danny Green never put up crazy numbers, like, you know, crazy shooting numbers and crazy efficiency numbers, and his impact numbers were off the charts. But that was like a relatively new concept at the time, was like defining players through some of those impact numbers and those catch-all statistics and stuff. I remember when PER came about, and it was like, everybody's got to have a great PER, and everybody realized this thing loves Al Jefferson way too much.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you kind of go to, you go to where we are now, and, you know, Jordan Clarkson bought out this off season. Cam Thomas, signs his, extension, his qualifying offer. These like small combo guards who don't, Malik Monk, right? Somebody who you and I both like a lot. Sacramento's like begging teams to get to take Malik Monk so they can sign Russell Westbrook for some reason. But like these players who don't create for others, can create for themselves, don't create for others, not really good defensively. Those players are kind of going. Those players are like, you know, we're watching them go the way of the dodo. And like, I'm not going to go so far as to say that Kuminga is that in a wing body. I think that dilutes some of his other talents elsewhere on the court. He can defend because of, you know, his measurables, but like with guys in these situations here, you need a viable explanation to them on why they should be bought in. And the Lakers have that. Like if you're trying to like look at the bright side of things here with the Lakers, the Lakers have that explanation. They have that. Yeah. They can go to those guys and be like, guys, this is how you'll get paid. Fuck, we'll pay you. We have the caps. The Lakers have the cap space after all of this, right? If they mess around, they win at a higher level than we expect. and this team resonates with the city and all that good stuff, the Lakers are like, let's extend. Yeah. Let's talk business.
There'll also be a spotlight on you, right? Playing with the Lakers obviously comes with that. I just want to comment the Cam Thomas thing. He's a little like I get mad at this from a Lakers G League perspective, but this matters even more in the NBA. You can't give Cam Thomas 3 years of your organization. Like, they handed the keys to Cam Thomas, run the offense, like keep us alive. And then when it's time to pay the guy that you just invested in for three seasons, that you've given the basketball, you've put in developmental hours and hours and hours in, to now go, you're an undersigned scoring guard. Take the cloth.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Like, how do I trust you as an organization? You spent 3 years telling all of us Cam Thomas is the next, and I think Cam Thomas is a step above these guys that you're discussing. Of these, just, but Cam Thomas is a special scorer to me, even on a bad team like Brooklyn. I'm high on Cam Thomas from that level. I think it's a mistake to now go, we'll lose him for nothing next year. Like, to me, that's bad process all around. You either didn't like Cam Thomas 2 years ago, you decide that. But now, 3 years after you handed your organization to him, basically, he's run your offense. Kyrie, KD, go out. He's the guy for a while.
Okay. But all right, Raj, they handed him the franchise, and like, look at all the winning they did.
Sure. I mean, but I don't think that's Cam Thomas's fault. Like, they were a terrible team. But
that's what it looks like when you hand a franchise to a Cam Thomas, and now he's being asked to be paid like somebody you hand the franchise off to and you win at a higher level, and he just doesn't.
Yeah. I understand that that's 100% difficult. I just think there's a middle ground between going, all right, like we invested so much into you, and now we're just gonna let you walk next year for nothing. I think that to me is a mistake on the Cam Thomas part.
No, I mean, as far as like asset management, 100% agree, right? Like, some team should have been willing to give up something for him over the last couple of years. I would also say that, like, when you say there's a middle ground there, I do kind of like, so basically what his agent is going to be doing over the course of this season,
mm-hmm.
sending constant emails. You see, well, and so like they're going to be sending constant emails just to see what his market is going to look like. And I do think it's going to be somewhere in between. It's going to be higher than his qualifying offer that he signed, but much lower than the 30 something million dollars that he, have you noticed this trend, Raj? All these guys expecting $30 to $35 million. Lakers have one who's expecting a contract in that range. You know, it's like Tyler Hero got his contract and everybody was like, I'm as good as that guy. I know I'm as good as that guy.
And they're not wrong. I mean, they're not wrong.
They're not wrong, but also, like, is that a contract that you want? Tyler Hero on that contract?
He's barely an all-star. That's the cost of a really good starter, I would say. Like, fringe all-star, that's the price of a guy.
I agree. In that sense, but
like, good players are going to get paid.
How much more do you think the Heat would like Tyler Hero's contract if he was at like 28?
I'm sure. I mean, if you're trying to optimize, of course. I mean, you can go down the list of the whole roster and go, yeah, if that guy made a little less, that guy made a little less, then I can go bring in this player. But that's the cost of keeping a player that's been in your system that you know that you can kind of pencil in for. This is what this guy does. He's really good. He's not superstar, so he's not getting paid the 50, 55, whatever. But 35 for whatever, 4 years, I think Tyler Hero's a tad overpaid. I don't think it's heavily overpaid, but I think he's a tad.
But a tad overpaid. Matters. In this CBA, that tad matters. Because, like,
It does, but then you lose.
Also, there's a hanging Tad joke about Florida that I could make that I'll just skip over. But like the
I wouldn't get it, but
but like so here's I've noticed this in my conversations with agents over the summer, and this kind of stretches back a couple of years. So little runway here. A lot of agents looked at the amount of money coming it felt like finding its way into the league, new TV deal, all of that stuff. Like they saw giant, I'm saying like giant dollar signs everywhere. Yeah. Like all these guys were like
capital A of Amazon.
Yeah. You know, they saw the exceptions going up. They saw the mid-level, the veteran minimum money going up, all that stuff. They saw the way that Supermax contracts are shaping out. I don't think they quite at the time foresaw the impact of these aprons on the middle class, where those dollars, like there's a legitimate fight for those dollars from $28 to $35 million, or even $28 to $32 or $33 million. Like teams are fighting, scratching and clawing for that money in ways that I don't think agents saw coming. And that has led to a shift, honestly, Raj, in the conversations and the tone of those conversations that I've had over the offseason with agents, where it's like, before it was like, oh, dude, you have no idea. Things are going to be great. There's so much money coming into this league. And now it's like, if you dare say any single thing about my guy, you are dead to me. And it's like, I've noticed that. And like I do kind of wonder, now maybe it'll look different when the rises in the cap and all that stuff. Maybe by the time we get to some of these, you know, like Austin's in particular, maybe, you know, the jump in the cap will make it so that the 35 is a little bit more feasible. The 32 is a little bit more feasible.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
But I bet you a lot of these contracts are like, because right now Kuminga's is 25, right? He was probably expecting like 35. Giddy, right, in Chicago, deal, he was expecting like 35. He got 25, right?
Yeah, he got 25, 400 for Josh Giddy, which doesn't even sound right coming out. But anyway, 4 years to go run the Chicago Bulls. I don't know what they're doing.
March Madness merchant. Yeah, Josh Giddy. But yeah, so and then you have like I don't know, based on like kind of how a lot of these negotiate. Now, restricted free agency is a very different thing than what Austin is going to be looking at, because some team probably will come along and be like the Spurs are a team that I'm really kind of keeping my eye on. I have a piece coming out on Austin, I think tomorrow, kind of previewing his season. And one of the, like, there's a lot of noise connecting Austin to San Antonio, just in case those conversations with the Lakers don't go exactly as they're expecting them to go. And all inclinations are that like Austin is going to opt out, and that he and the Lakers and he and his agent and the Lakers are all on the same page here. So I don't think it will be anywhere near as dramatic as the Kuminga thing, but if there is any drama there whatsoever, the Spurs are ready to pop in there and see what number they can get to that is just higher than the Lakers. But a lot of these teams in these aprons, like you say that that's just kind of the going rate on starters. Yeah, but that's the going rate on starters who teams know they can win with. Sure. You know, at the highest levels. And if there is any question there whatsoever, I do think that that becomes a complicating factor in a lot of those conversations.
For sure. And I think that's the calculation you make, right? Is there proof of concept? Have you seen this player perform in big moments? Have you seen them play in the playoffs? Hopefully that's all kind of within this conversation. But I don't think is Tyler Hero worth 30 to 35? Is Tyler Hero worth 35? Or the cost to replace Tyler Hero, because he's gone. Like if you're not paying him, he's leaving, or you burn the bridge or whatever it is, that relationship is killed, right? Especially if he knows that's my number and he knows he has another team willing to pay that gladly, then that's the number that you got to come with, right? And so I always think of the Caruso thing, which obviously that was a incredibly terrible negotiated, you know, deal, but Caruso actually was like, hey, this is what I'm worth. And I have another team telling me they will pay me that.
Yeah.
And Lakers like, we don't believe you. And so no, they're all right.
They didn't believe him. They just didn't want him.
Like, all right. Well, I'm doing what I want it to happen, Anthony. All right. This is the way I'm this is the way I want it.
Sorry, Raj. Like
don't show me how the sausage is made. All right. Don't like
that was the first situation that I like technically could have reported. This was at a time when I didn't want to get into reporting. That was like a really poorly kept secret that Caruso, like, not it wasn't that he was walking, it's that the Lakers were hitting him with a broom out the door. It was a really weird situation there.
Every time this conversation goes up, I go, are you sure? Is that like, are you sure that's what happened? And everyone's like, yes,
Raj, you have a stat for us.
Okay. Yeah. I have a few stats that I find this time of year. I try to dive into the last year's stats and, you know, I do this every single season. And one thing I found extremely interesting, what I haven't seen anyone talk about yet, so you know it's not a crazy super deep PER or anything like that, but we did this with LeBron and AD, Anthony. I think every year we look at what did the team do when those two are on the floor, because the whole roster is surrounded by those two and it matters. So I went and looked at LeBron, Austin, and Luka. How'd the team do when those three on the floor? If you had to guess, how would you think those three did? Playoffs was disgusting.
Not counting the playoffs?
Yeah, throw away the playoffs. Regular season, how do you think those three did? Second half of the season, Lakers, I think went 21-10 or something when Luka came or something like that. But in any case, what would you guess you think those three did on the floor?
I would guess they were incredible offensively and terrible defensively.
Okay. That kind of lines up. They're a net zero, which kind of shocked me considering they had a lineup that was destroying with the death lineup that I coined with Dorian Finney-Smith at the five. A plus zero with those three on the floor. I find that extremely fascinating. They were a plus 0.1, but in those games, they went, when those three specifically played, they went 13-8. So they had a winning record when those three played, but a plus zero. Some other interesting stuff. So
I want to come back. I want to spend more time on this one.
Okay. Okay.
There's a couple ways that you can kind of look at that.
All right.
One is that
blame the roster, right?
It's right. So like, if you want the optimistic view of it, you could say, well, they had Jackson Hayes as the starter.
Sure.
No Marcus Smart quite yet. Right. No point of attack defender. You know, there was some smoke and mirrors, right, defensively there that you could maybe say, you know, was keeping even an iffy defense kind of together. And now that a lot of that stuff is kind of addressed. If you want to be a pessimist, right, and the truth sits somewhere in the middle here, but if you want to be a pessimist, you could say, well, it's a tough group to build around, right? You have two guys, two superstars who defend basically the same position. You mm-hmm. have a 40-year-old LeBron who is not at a point in his career where he can be like a top two defender on your, you know, team's floor at any moment. And he kind of has to be with that trio. You have, because you have Luka and Austin and essentially your backcourt, you have no point of attack defense, you know? So like it basically limits your margin for error defensively, having those three guys that you have to have two freaking dynamos defensively with them to have like an average defense, to have a decent defense. But it, you know, like I said, they can be overwhelming offensively. And that, by the way, Raj, also third explanation there, those guys didn't do shit together last year. So even if they did, like, let's just say the defense remains terrible, you can make an argument that the offense could be so much more overwhelming with those guys doing stuff together that the team nets out higher than they did last year.
But I mean, so the offense was good. It was around 117 net rating, which would have ranked around seventh in the league. It's not dominant, right? It's, I think when we got Luka Doncic, both of us said that this offense needed to be, I think we used the word generational king. Best in the league. And it just was not. I think a lot of that does have to do with what you're speaking about, in terms of not running stuff together. But the defense was also 117, right? Which would have ranked 28th, right behind the Phoenix Suns. Now, again, I don't think this is a LeBron, Austin, Luka issue in terms of at least them three as individuals. I was shocked first when I saw this stat, looked it up yesterday. I went to some two-man lineup stuff, which we don't have to get into, but I think this is very fascinating that obviously Dorian and Rui with those two, those killed. Now there's some question how real was that. Not 100% sure. It only played 13 games, so didn't get a crazy stat. My wonder is the jump from Ayton to Hayes so gigantic that it makes up for that. Also stemming a little bit of the age that LeBron is gaining, right? LeBron's getting a year older, probably loses some half a step. That to me is extremely interesting. Again, 21 games isn't a huge sample either, obviously, but it's what we got. And I was surprised to see that. 21 games, a plus 0.1, pretty much even, which means other lineups are carrying the team to wins, basically. I just find that extremely interesting. I do agree with you. There's stuff they need to run together, but that's why people are calling me insane, Anthony, for saying I would trade a first for Andrew Wiggins. I promise I'm okay. Health is fine. I just look at this and go, what you just pointed out, where's the defense coming from? I think skinny Luka is going to be faster. I'm not sure he's going to turn into Gary Payton, the junior and Gary Payton, the second on defense. I don't know where the defense, Marcus Smart is a lot of it,
to be honest.
All right, come on. He's gonna be better than the guy that's, you know, sitting, who's not playing anymore. But I do find that extremely interesting because I think if you go down the list of athletes on the team, goes LeBron, and it goes Adu Thierro. Like it jumps, and then Jackson Hayes is somewhere in there. But that's what I got from this. That I'm taking from this is that there's real holes. That lineup has some holes that need to be kind of taken for. And I just wonder if this new roster fills. I think it fills it from a talent perspective and an offense. I think the offense can really take a jump. The defense concerns me. It's why I'm like, let's go get Andrew Wiggins, because the next name after that is like Kelly Oubre or, you know, all these other wings. But yeah, do you share those concerns? Did you know that, by the way, that they were kind of breaking even, those three? Or would you have assumed that, I guess?
No, I had a decent idea of it, you know, just like given. Jovan had mentioned something like that in passing on the show. He made it sound a little bit better. I don't know how he kind of filtered the stats to get where his kind of, but like, yeah, my concern with those three guys is like they're and this is one of those things where like it might just limit the roster building capabilities here that like put that glass ceiling on the Lakers where those three guys on a night by night basis and especially when you get into the playoffs, are always going to be at a severe athleticism disadvantage.
Bye, everyone.